praise you for that little light. That light that you shine in the darkness. For all the ways that you've blessed us, God, we give you thanks. We lift up to you today these resources, these gifts of time, our service, our love, our worship, all of these things we put in your hands, God, acknowledging that you are the one true light and praying, God, that you might let that light shine not only here in Carmel, but to the very ends of the earth. We pray, God, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done. In your name we pray today. Amen. Today, we have a brand new series that we get to dive into. My name is Pastor Adrienne Curtis. I'm the associate pastor here at Carmel United Methodist Church. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be tackling 1 John. Now, 1 John is not to be confused with the Gospel of John, which tells the story of Jesus. So in 1 John, this is a book that was written to the early Christian community. And this was a time when they were trying to figure out, how do we do this thing called church? How do we be God's people? How do we follow Jesus, really? And what does that look like? And so the book of 1 John kind of spells that out for that early community. I think it's appropriate for us because we're still figuring out how to be church, I think. We still are trying to figure out how to be Christian, how to follow Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to read from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And I want to encourage all of you, you know, you could just watch me and then watch the screen, or you could get your Bibles out. You could get your phones out. That's okay. You can look it up. And I'd encourage you, read the scripture for yourself on whatever it is that you have. And for that reason, I'm only putting a little teaser on the screens each week. So from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Walk in the light. Anyone here afraid of the dark? Maybe a few, maybe you're just not raising your hands, that's okay. We took a family trip to Mammoth Cave a few years ago and went on one of these tours where we went deep underground in one of these tunnels where no light, nothing can get down there. And then the tour guide, he took a few moments and had us turn off our phones and sit in total darkness for 1 minute. Now, I've been in darkness before, but we don't even realize how much ambient light there is in the world. Usually, even at night, there's a moon, there's stars, there's streetlights, lightning bugs, or whatever that is. You can still see a little bit, but this was pitch black. You couldn't see anything at all. What they told us is that when you are in the dark like that, people actually have trouble processing the lack of sensory input, the lack of stuff that they can't see anymore. And so we start to hallucinate. Our brain starts making stuff up. Darkness can be confusing. It can be misleading. And did you know that you are 71% more likely to have your car stolen at night? Crime can happen anytime, but cars specifically are 71% more likely to be stolen at night. Because under the cover of darkness, we have the ability to hide, to sneak around. Darkness hides evil. It hides sin. Imagine a world with no light. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And then God saw the light and that it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." Now, were y'all listening carefully? What came first? It said there was evening, and then there was morning. And so, actually, by this scripture, by Jewish tradition, the Jewish day starts at sundown. It starts with night and goes through sundown, night. That's a day. We start in darkness, and God brings the light. We have physical darkness, but we all know too well that we also have spiritual darkness. We have times where we walk through struggles, through brokenness. I know there are times in my life when I think back on those periods of time and I just imagine them darker because those struggles were so hard. Because evil or sin or whatever it was so difficult at the time. There are times and places where darkness does invade our world. Elie Wiesel, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but Elie Wiesel was a young boy who lived during the Holocaust. He was in Germany, and he and his family were taken and put in a Jewish concentration camp, several different ones, actually. Right off of the bat, his mom and his sisters were taken to a different place. He never saw them again. Later, he found out his mom and one of his sisters had died. He was left with his father, who was beaten and mistreated, and all of them were starved. And eventually, he watched his father die of dysentery. Somehow, miraculously, he made it through that nightmare. And it took many years, but eventually, he was able to write about his experience. And he wrote a series of books that started with a book titled Night. And as he says in that book, "Never shall I forget that night. The first night in camp, which has turned my life into one long night. Never shall I forget that smoke. Never shall I forget the little faces of the children whose bodies I saw turned into wreaths of smoke beneath a silent blue sky." For him, that whole experience was darkness, night. Looking back, we recognize the evil, the travesty, that something like that would happen. At that time, Hitler flew his agenda underneath the Christian flag. He put forth this idea that this was God's will, to wipe out an entire group of people and anyone who he deemed unworthy of life. And there were a number of pastors and preachers, people who were supposed to be godly people, who followed him and supported what he was doing. Darkness can be misleading and confusing. And so we come back to 1 John again. In God, there is no darkness at all. God is light. There is no darkness. God does not lead us to hate or fear. There is no hate or fear in God. These things are not of God. They are opposite to God. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, and I think put it really well, hatred paralyzes life, love releases it. Hatred confuses life, love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life, love illuminates it. Love illuminates. And so when we find ourselves walking in paths of hate and fear, we have this reminder that those paths, that darkness is not of God. That is not God's will for us. God calls us to love, to light, to hope, to peace. These are the good, beautiful things that God calls us into. Now, the thing about light is it has a way of revealing the hidden. We talked about how darkness hides. Light reveals. And so when we shine that light on our own lives, it has a way of lighting up sometimes the ugly parts of ourselves we'd rather not see or look at. We have a little tiny dog. She's a Chihuahua, or he's a Chihuahua Pomeranian mix. Any dog people here? Yeah, a few. Sorry, for all you cat people, I'm going to have to leave you out on this one. But we have a little dog, and he's an attention hog, and he's mostly potty trained. Which is to say, we just moved, we're in a new place, we got to kind of watch him, because sometimes, well, especially if it's raining outside, or he just doesn't feel like going out, he will sneak around and pee somewhere in the house. Now, he's a small dog, so you can't always tell right away. So I actually have here, I don't know if any of you all have these, it's a little black light. I feel like a CSI investigator. You can actually shine this light around on the carpet, and it'll light up differently. You can see where there are pee stains. If there was a crime scene, I would be ready. I'm on it with my black light, because that's what lights do. Light illuminates, it changes, it lights up and reveals the hidden things inside of us. But the good news inside of that is that when we stand in the light, when we light up those dark places, it makes room in our lives for love, for light to enter in, for God to be present in our lives. About a week ago, under the cover of darkness, there were two individuals who went to the congregation, Shari Tefillah, down on 116th Street. And you may have heard what they did there. Under the cover of darkness in the middle of the night, they spray painted a Nazi flag on the side of one of those outside buildings and a couple of crosses. They burned something. They did all that in secret, in the dark, because I'm sure they knew it would not be okay to bring that into the light. And their intention was to make that congregation scared. They wanted the Jewish congregation that worships there to be afraid. And so they did this. And that congregation could have given in to that fear. They could have shut their doors, mistrusted strangers a little bit more, rallied together with their own. Instead, they opened their doors up wide. They invited the entire community into their building. And they had a love rally on Monday. I was so proud of our congregation. Carmel United Methodist Church was well represented. I know, I think Matt was there, and Pastor Patty was there, and multiple of you were there as well. We got there a little bit late. I had Sullivan, my 16-year-old, and Evangeline with me. Because Evangeline had meet the parent night at school, and I was amazed because just a few minutes late, and it was already standing room only. I expected a couple hundred people. There were more than 1,000 that showed up. They were busing people from a nearby school because they ran out of parking space. As we walked into the building, there were at least 8 members of Shari Tefillah that were right there ready to greet us. And every single one of them looked me in the eye, shook my hand, and said, "Welcome. Thank you for coming. Welcome. Thank you." They did that for thousands of all of those people who came that day. Every single person greeted and welcomed. They had speakers that included the mayor and also representatives from all different kinds of groups, the Muslim group, Hindu, Sikh. And these speakers talked about supporting and loving one another. I know someone said an attack on any of us is an attack on all of us. That as a community, we stand with each other. And as these speakers shared and talked, more and more people came in. They had to open the back doors. There were people lined out the building. How amazing is that? Just being there gave me, oh my gosh, it gave me chills. We see in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." When we walk in the light, God brings us together. I think the best part of that night for me, so we walk into that room, it was like if you've ever been to a concert and they have, do people mosh pit anymore? No? Well, you know, standing room only, everybody groups around the stage. It was like that in the back, wall-to-wall people. And my daughter, who is 9 years old, about this tall, so imagine, she spent most of the time staring at some guy's back who was right in front of her. And so there was a Jewish woman who was right there. We were next to the wall, who invited Evangeline and kind of helped her up so she could stand on a table. She got to stand on the table to see all of the people up front. And after the service was over, this woman talked with us for a while and shared about the congregation, about how she felt about what had happened there. And I thought to myself that I never would have had that conversation. I never would have naturally been drawn to talk to her if we hadn't had that rally, if we hadn't all come together that day. But that's kind of what God does. When we walk in the light, we're brought together with people we wouldn't normally talk to, some of them, but still in fellowship with one another. There is hatred and darkness in the world. But through Jesus Christ, the good news is we also have light. And not to spoil things for any of you, but light wins. We hear that in John chapter 1, verse 4. It says about Jesus that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light wins. If you've got a dark world, if you have darkness, you overcome that by shining the light of Christ, by pouring out love and hope and good, beautiful things. This is what God brings into our world. Through Jesus Christ, darkness cannot win. Sometimes we have trouble walking in the light. We need a little help, and that's why we're brought in fellowship together. We do it better together. We need each other. You all could have stayed home. You could have turned on your TV this morning or whatever. You chose to come here because I think you get it, that we do it better together. We're community. We help each other out. This summer, Sean and I had the opportunity to walk what is called the Camino de Santiago in northern Spain. And so the path we walked starts in France. It's the French way. It starts in France, but we just walked 130 miles of it. We just walked 130 miles of it. And one of the ways you find yourself on this path is you have to follow the arrows. So there are these bright yellow arrows. Sometimes there are markers, like the one you see on the right. And you look for the arrows, and then that keeps you on the path. Now, sometimes the path follows the road. Most of the time, it goes through mountains, valleys. It follows creeks sometimes, forests. We went through so many little, tiny, long-forgotten villages that I couldn't have ever found on a map. And so you really have to look for these arrows, or you could easily get lost. So we're gonna play a game called Find the Yellow Arrow. All right? So you can see the one on the left. Can you see the one on the right? You see, good job. Excellent. Can you tell which direction it's pointing? Yeah, sort of. It's pointed up, which I think means straight. That's what we took it for, and we went straight. How about this one? Yeah, we almost missed this arrow because we were about to get trampled by a herd of cows. Very good. Yes, that way was the way we needed to go. And then in this one, this is very descriptive of my walk on the Camino, because you see me. I need to get you up here to preach my sermon. You're right. I was going the wrong way. So I love, you can see I'm totally distracted by the view. And the arrows are all pointed the other direction, and I'm on the wrong path. And that happened more than a few times. I would get distracted. I'd be lost in prayer or thought or whatever it was. And so luckily, I had some incredible travel companions. We, in our group of 15, would end up walking with the people who were about the same speed as us. And so there were two women who I ended up walking with, Anne Brock and Shalimar Holderly. And whenever I would wander the wrong way, they would holler out to me, "Adrian, there's an arrow." And then I'd know to turn around, to come back, to go a different way. That's what we do in community with each other. We help each other find the way to walk in the light, to follow where God leads us. That's the joy we have in community. And as we celebrate communion together, we're reminded of that. We have an opportunity to remember Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness. But also as we take communion, we are brought together as one body, as a community that helps each other in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts through Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim that mystery of faith, that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on those of us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and drink, may they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. by your Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. And when we share in the bread, we share in the body of Christ. That fellowship in the light that I mentioned, we're brought together. And the cup over which we give thanks is our sharing in the blood of Christ. We accept that sacrifice of Jesus. We share in that sacrifice by sometimes sacrificing and loving others as well. In the Methodist Church, we practice what is called open table, open communion. That means that all are welcome, young and old, member, non-member. We feel like Jesus never turned anyone away, so we don't either. So all are welcome to the table. And I want to invite my servers to come up here. And in particular, I want to highlight for all of you, so glad to have the Buskirk family. And also excited, some of you have met Jill, but I want to formally invite introduce Pastor Jill and her husband Brian, and their kids are back here at this table. And Pastor Jill is an ordained deacon in the Methodist Church. She is full-time over at our counseling center and doing some incredible work, and you're going to get to hear her preach in like 3 weeks, I think, very soon. And so I'm going to have you all come over here, and I'll serve you communion. And then we have gluten-free right here, and then communion on either side. And I also want to draw your attention. We've got candles up here as we talk about and reflect on being the light. If there is someone who you would like to be praying for, there's a place of darkness. If you'd like to come light a candle or kneel and pray, you're welcome to do that as well as we take communion together. So the table is set. Come whenever you are ready.